We're going to take a little bit of a break from Gittin. I guess we'll continue with Gittin after Yom Tov. We began the Hakdama. We'll continue just with one other shir, I think, on the Hakdama, because we still want to go through the text of the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Tzadim Aleph, Tzadim Aleph. It's still important points to bring out, but that the next year will be 2 weeks from tonight, and that will be on the Yom Kippurim or Tshuva, one or the other, or both. And after that, I'm not sure, is there one between off the check of my schedule?
No.
So it'll be after Sukkot.
So the
Okay, very good. Okay, so we're on a bit of a break in terms of Gittin, but maybe we'll speak a little about connected topics next week anyway. But under the aegis of Yom Kippur, we can do that. Okay, see if I can pull that off or not. Okay, tonight we want to speak about, of course, Rosh Hashanah is a week from now, and we want to speak about a Rosh Hashanah. So let me begin with the following, the Ha'ara. Generally speaking, we prepare for a Yom Tov 30 days before the Yom Tov. The history of that itself is a little bit unclear. The Mishnah in Masechet Megillah on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, discussing the Pasuk that begins or initiates the Parsha of Emor, Parsha Samoados, by Daber Hashem Moshe Emadei Yisrael. So, referring to that pasuk, the Mishnah Megillah says that we see from here that one should do the Kriyas HaTorah according to Inyano Shel Hayom Shel Achag. In other words, on Chag HaSukkos you should be reading the Kriyas HaTorah about Sukkah. On Chag HaMatzos you should be relating to Pesach. On Chag HaShavuos, you should be zeroing in, concentrating on Shavuos. Then the Gemara in the very end, the last three or four lines of the Masechta and Megillah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So then the Gemara expands on this and says it's not just a din Kriyas HaTorah, but we learned from this pasuk that you should be Doresh B'inyano Shel Yom. In other words, beyond the Kriyas HaTorah, one should be involved in discussing the halachos and the ideas of the Chag on the Chag itself. The Gemara Pesachim, the Bava Min Aleph, has seemingly a different version or rendition of this. The Gemara there speaks about Shloshim Yom Lifnei Chag Sholim V'Dorshin B'Oso Achag, 30 days in advance. And then the Rishonim in Megillah and in Pesachim, the Beis Yosef, I think it's in Tav Tes or something like that, beginning of the Shulchan Aruch's discussion of Moadim, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, so what is it? Is it Oso Yom or is it Shloshim Yom? And there's a possibility that Shloshim Yom is limited to Pesach. After all, there's a lot to prepare on Pesach. There's Bedikas Chametz and Bir Chametz and the buying of the matzos and the Shmirah of the matzos. There are all sorts of additional technical, practical requirements to take care of in advance of Chag HaMatzos. So maybe that's a special din in Pesach, or maybe really this is a halacha that applies to all of the Moadim. That's the more conventional view. Pesach is just an example. There's the Sugya in Megillah, there's the Sugya in Pesachim. Let's say the Sugya in Pesachim is a paradigm or a model for other Chagim as well. So there's a difference between the Darshin B'Osu Hayom and the Kriyas HaTorah on the one hand, and the preparation of the Shloshim Yom. But generally speaking, all of the Chagim have a 30-day advance period. That's the view of many of the Rishonim and of the Poskim. And this has impact. For example, the Mishnah and Sukkah discusses a discussion between Beis Hillel, records a discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about the requirement of Lishma in Sukkah. And we possibly don't need Lishma, but even if you do need Lishma, so what does that mean? A Sukkah which was built within 30 days of the Chag is automatically seen to be connected with the Chag. In other words, the period of Shloshim Yom really is like a sphere of influence. It's a time period, a time frame which is inherently connected to the Chag. This is of course true even more so when it comes to Chag HaMatzos, After all, the whole idea of bedikas chametz, a person leaves his home shloshim yom in advance, that's a critical period. Even some of the dinim drabanan, you find even Megillah, there may be a 30-day period with respect to someone who's traveling and he has no other opportunity to read the Megillah. So of course we know the institution of Yom HaKnisa. Is there something even earlier for someone who is traveling? So there's this period of Shloshim Yom, which generally speaking is viewed to be the adjunct to the Chag in terms of preparing for it. However, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, the rule seems to be different, and that in maybe opposite ways depending on your perspective. Right? If there is no general requirement of Hachana for other Chagim, with the exception of Chag HaMatzos because of its practical requirements. So it's very fascinating that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we do have a 30-day preparation period, namely Chodesh Elul. If there is a general period and it's connected to that pasuk in Emor, and it's an expansion of the Darshim Vinyanei Hachag, even if there are some differences. So then what's fascinating is that if you look at the Mishnah and the Gemara, there's a striking omission. They speak about Inyanei Achag B'Chag, Pesach B'Pesach, right? Atzeres B'Atzeres, and of course what's noticeably absent is any reference to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the question is what? So what I'm saying is, it seems like the preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is different than the preparation for other Moedim in one of two opposite ways. Either because there is an apparent preparation specifically for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or if there is a preparation for the other Moedim as well, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not derived from that Pasuk and are not linked with those other Chagim. And the question is what? The omission on the other list is noted by the Marsha, at least in terms of Inyanei Achag Darshin, the Kriyas HaTorah, the Darshin of the Gemara and Megillah. And it's Marsha has a very fascinating comment that I've mentioned in the past. For some of you who attended this year, probably remember it. And that is that Marsha says that the idea behind this halakha is that we're dealing with something that is a new experience, that is an experience that comes, you know, rarely, or once a year. And that's true about Chag HaMatzos and Atzeres and Sukkos. However, he says, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are about Tshuva, they're about Avodas Hashem. These are themes that apply every single day of the year. What the Marsha says is, at first glance, shocking and counterintuitive. If anything, we would think that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are the most unusual, singular days of the year. But what the Marsha is saying, of course, is not a steerer to that. What he's saying is something very profound. They are the most unusual and singular, and they're also the most impactful and relevant. These two things are not mutually exclusive. In the most profound way, each one facilitates the other. So basically, the Marsha is trying to explain why the din of Shloshim Yom, B'Chag, B'Pesach, B'Atzeres doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah and to Yom Kippur. But the fact is that we do have preparation, and it's instead rooted in a whole different concept, different source, and if we look at it carefully, the quality of the preparation is different as well. What is that preparation? Of course, Chodesh El, which is the 30-day preparation for Rosh Hashanah. The Tkiyas Shofar that we engage in every day certainly links it very specifically to Rosh Hashanah. From another perspective, it's a 40-day preparation to Yom Kippurim. The 40-day preparation to Yom Kippurim isn't only logical, right, because Yom Kippur comes after that time, and why would we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and not for Yom Kippurim? But especially if we view this as the period of Lukos Shnios, which Chazal do, Allah Hashem Bitrua, Hashem B'Kol Shofar. So if you look at it that way, so it really is the 40-day reenactment of Lukos Shnios, which culminates on Yom Kippurim. But we'll leave Yom Kippur aside for the moment. Certainly the 30 days is a preparation for Rosh Hashanah. The fact that we break in the Tkiyas Shofar and the Tkiyas Shofar preparation, of course, is only till Rosh Hashanah, even though there's also a Shofar Shel Yom Kippur in the Shofar Shel Yovel, obviously means that there's a 30-day period for Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh Elul. But let's say this has a different source and a whole different perspective. Number one, there are actually Meisim quasi-mitzvahs that we're involved with for 30 days in advance, which is of course quite different from the preparations of Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, right? The blowing of the shofar is one, the saying of L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishi is a second, the minhag among many Sfardim is to start saying Slichos already from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. What's fascinating in our preparation is that there are two entry points in the preparation, because we only begin to say Slichos, two nights ago, Motzei Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos, either right before or a week before, or a little more than a week before Rosh Hashanah, depending on how many Slichos we can get in. But so there are two different points of entry when it comes to the preparation of Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah / Yom Kippur. The fact is that we're told that Chodesh Elul is a special opportunity to not only add zchuyos or credits, you know, so that our permanent record will be more palatable and better able to secure for us an optimistic future. Obviously, it's more than that. We're supposed to intensify our Avodas Hashem in Chodesh Elul in its own sake, merely as a mechanism of zeroing in on concentrating and preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, even quite aside from the question of Tzchuyos. And this surely is a very important perspective. The Miri quotes from Medrash, Miri in his Chibur HaTshuva, Dirshu Hashem behimatzo kira'u v'yaso karov, the words of the Navi that we read every fast day. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches tells us, Eilu Aseres HaYamim, these are the 10 days, Bein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippur. This represents the 10-day period of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In this period, the Ribbono Shel Olam Kivyachol is more accessible to us than on other days of the year. However, the Meiri in his Chibur HaTshuva quotes other midrashim that say Tishu Hashem Bihimatzo Karov Yaso Karov refers to the period beginning Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, or Chodesh Elul until Rosh Hashanah at least, are days of Tishu Hashem Bihimatzo Kirau Yaso Karov, which means that not only are they preparatory, but again, there is a substantive element to the preparation. There are things that we engage in conduct and behavior during this tkufat zman, during this period of time, that is different and that is unique. So the fact that we have a specific maisim that Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo is linked to, and etc., all this established, in addition to the omission of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim on the normal list of Dorshin Binyanei Achag Bachag or Shloshim Yom Tzniachag, all this establishes a different kind of preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur than we normally associate with other Chagim. And the question is why? The simple answer, of course, is that we're dealing with a period in which stakes could not be any higher. Our fate, our destiny, all of this is literally at stake. And therefore the need to prepare better and to ensure a proper outcome is one which we relate to with greater urgency. If there isn't preparation for other Chagim, surely there needs to be preparation for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur. But as we explained before, it isn't only what's at stake. It seems like the period of Tshuva has already begun in some respect in this 30-day period. And the question is, why should that be so? In what sense are we already in the sphere of influence, let's say, of Rosh Hashanah and maybe even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Again, if we're talking about the model to the Yom Kippur of Luchos Shnios. So the entire period, obviously, was a crucial one in which Moshe Rabbeinu was getting instruction from the Rabbeinu Shalom, etc. So I'd like to go back to this question a little later on, just leave it here for a moment. What is it about preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, especially Rosh Hashanah for the moment, that really is unique, that justifies this different perspective and approach? Before we get to that, let me make a little bit of a detour, not really a detour. Let me focus on another issue, at least for a couple of moments. I've mentioned this in past years, so I'd like to illustrate it a little more today, give a different suggestion, parallel, but different suggestion, of what it might be about. The truth is, if you look at Rosh Hashanah is the most difficult day of the year to pin down, to define. If you look at the Pesukim in the Torah, it's easy to understand what the major themes of Chag HaMatzos are. Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, the Torah tells us. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Torah doesn't tell us very much. Vayidabra Hashem Moshe Lemar, Davero B'nei Yisrael Lemar B'Kodesh HaShvi'i V'Chol B'Kodesh Yiyeh Lachem Shabboson Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. In Parshas Emor, all we're told is that these are holy days, days of Yom Tov, days of Mikra Kodesh and Shabboson, and Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. What does that really tell us? But we have the Sora, so, you know, we sometimes tend to overlook the ambiguity in the Torah Shebichtav just because we have such a rich perspective on Rosh Hashanah. We know what Rosh Hashanah is. It's Yom HaDin. It's the day of Tkiyat Shofar, right? Even then it's very complicated and difficult to pin down. But the point is we know a lot about Rosh Hashanah. We know what it's called. We know what we do. You wouldn't know at all, you wouldn't know anything practically from the words of the Torah because of our knowledge. You know, we sometimes are distracted from appreciating the importance of that. The Ramban wasn't distracted, and the Ramban zeroes in on this problem. If you look at the sheets in front of you, just take for example, on the first page you'll see the second to last paragraph, below Pirush. The Ramban says this very, very forcefully. Below Pirush are causes tam on mitzvah azos. The Torah doesn't tell us what the reason for Zichron Trua is. Lama Trua, what's the purpose? Lama Nitzrech, Zikaron Lefnei Hashem, Yom Hazeh, Yosim Mishara Yamim. What's so unusual about this day that it needs a Zikaron? Lama Yitzav Ali Yoso, Mikra Kodesh Klal. Why does it have to be a Yom Tov? It sounds like Ramban is repeating himself, but the point is, Ramban is bothered by this obviously intentional ambiguity or quasi silence. About the day Shehu Bechodshol Sheyom HaKippurim Rosh HaKodesh, since it falls as the Rosh Chodesh, it's an important perspective too, of Yom HaKippurim Shebo Yadin Lefanav Yisbarach Kibam Yadin Amin, and we know the Rosh Chodesh is going to be sitting and judging on Yom Kippur, and this is the advance of Yom Kippur and the Rosh Chodesh of Yom Kippur. The Rosh Hashanah Yeshev V'Kisei Shofei Tzedek Yafrikain Basaras Ayamim Yisa Lapesha Avadav Nirmas Bakasava Indian Kashanoda Big Israel Nipiyamavim the Avos Kedoshim. You can fill in the blanks by virtue of the Nevi'im and the Mesorah. We can figure out enough since Yom Kippur is coming, and obviously this is the Rosh Chodesh before, that this is a first phase of Din. But the question remains, how come the Torah wasn't explicit about this? The Ramban repeats this even more forcefully in his Drasha of Rosh Hashanah, which you don't have here, but which I do. There the Ramban says, maybe I didn't quote that line. One second. I didn't bring that line. But the Ramban again, in his drasha on the Rosh Hashanah, he starts off with this idea. Oh, I'm sorry, here it is. I do have it. V'nei tziva kosev shenase yom tov v'mikla kodesh v'yom hazeh v'lo pirish loma v'alma u'bishar kol ha-moedim mifarish tam ha-moed. Here's the Ramban extent. Every single other moed, the Torah explicates. Doesn't save ink, leaving it to our imagination or the richness of our Masorah. Kol echad v'yachad, the moedo, k'mo. Omer b'chag ha-matzos, es chag ha-matzos tishmor, shivas yom tov ha-matzos, l'moed chodesh ha-aviv, kiboyot osim mitzrayim. We have the history, we have the rationale, we have a description of what it is that we're supposed to be doing. The herich b'tama b'kama makomos, not only in Emor, but in other places, in Bo, and Bamidbar, and Dvarim, right? B'chag ha-shavuos, omar b'chag ha-shavuos ta'asim ha-bikurei, Ketzir Chitim, Amar Bechaga Katzir Mikurei Masecha, the Odomar Shiva Shavuos Tispalach, and so on. Hine Tzivash Shenavi Omer Mikurei Ketzir Saorim, the Yatzir Chodesh Bimedina, the Bechaga Sukkos Omar, Bechaga Asif, the Tzeis Hashana Bias Bechaz Masecha Min Hasadeh, Lefarish Shehem Al Chukos Katzir Vyasif Sheshomel Anu Akadish Baruch Hu, Aval Kan, meaning Rosh Hashanah, Lo Pirish Klum. The Omar Stam Shinasa Biyom Zeh Shabasam Vizikron Trua the Omar Od Yom Trua Yelachem Vilobia Inyan Klal. That's the Ramban's comment. Yeah. Thank you.
Shavuos and also Shmini Atzeres are not explicit either. Shavuos as an agricultural.
Right.
But as a.
Not as Matan Torah.
Not as Matan Torah. Yeah. Or, so I mean, one can raise the same question.
Okay, but at least we have the agricultural side. Then the question is, how come we were quiet about the Matan Torah? There are all sorts of theories about that as well. You know, but he's quoting Shavuos in this context. At least we know exactly what we do on Shavuos in the Pesukim. We know about the Karbanos that we bring, right? He considers Shavuos, I mean, the Ramban considers Shavuos to be the agricultural side, I guess, is somewhat of a town. And that's connected also to Bikurim. But I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you the way the Ramban side. So both in his Perush Al HaTorah and in his Drash of the Rosh Hashanah, essentially what the Ramban is saying is the most amorphous, the most unclear of all of the Moedim in terms of its purpose, its function, what actually goes on Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. He never answers why that is so. He just goes on to explain, well, what do we do in Rosh Hashanah? And what is the word Zikron Trua, which is a particularly challenging term, what does that refer to? The if you look at that question, that question itself, let's start with the first point. So why is the Torah particularly ambiguous? Last year, I had the opportunity to speak also before Rosh Hashanah, and spoke about the relationship between Tzom and Seuda on Rosh Hashanah. Whether you ideally should be fasting on Rosh Hashanah or eating. Can we generally paskin that we eat on Rosh Hashanah? Tried to show that even then, there are echoes of the view of the Gaonim that we fast. For example, what happens if you forget to say Yalav Yavo? Are you Chozer in the Birchas HaMazon? Should you refrain from eating your favorite dishes or not, and fish, and Magen Meisharim, and eating too much on Rosh Hashanah. Probably shouldn't eat too much anytime, but got some doctors here in the crowd will speak about that. But the point is that there is a certain dialectic between what we'll call the Simcha and the Yira of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Mikra Kodesh and Simcha. And at the same time, as the Rambam put it, a day of Yira V'Fachad, V'Ein Bahem Simcha Yisera. And I tried to explain last year that this is part of a much larger topic. That is that Rosh Hashanah, in my opinion, is the most, not only ambiguous day of the year, its ambiguity lies in its complexity. It's the most wide-ranging and ambitious day. It's a day of Malchus, Sophronos, and Shophros, each of which is understood in different ways, probably intentionally have different motifs. It's also a day of great optimism and also great fear and great sense of reticence. And as such, maybe the Torah doesn't define Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is almost not definable. Also suggested then that, and other times, that Rosh Hashanah, there's a great deal of personal latitude. One is obligated to fulfill all of the components and elements of Rosh Hashanah, obviously, the Malchios, the Chronos, the Shofros, all of the motifs of each. But when you are involved in such a complex endeavor, necessarily your own personal situation will lead you to accentuate, to emphasize one aspect over that of another. So even as there's a norm, the Tkiyah Shofar is a norm, the Tfilos are a norm. However, it's so wide-ranging that each person can also put his personal imprimatur on this particular chag. And maybe for that reason, the Torah wasn't so explicit, because the Torah wanted each individual to put his, to make Rosh Hashanah his own. And in that sense, Rosh Hashanah is also a kind of Rosh Chodesh, but we say Lachem as well. That's what I suggested last year. However, in addition to that, I think that there is a specific theme of Rosh Hashanah, which I'd like to develop this year, and that is the theme of Yom HaZikaron, or Zikron Trua in particular, which overlaps what I just said, but which also stands somewhat on its own. Rosh Hashanah is by definition the transition between the past and the future. It's captured dramatically in the calendar. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the first day of the new year. It's in with the new. It's the transition. It's stepping away from one's past. And as such, in order to be the transition from past to future, it demands of us that we live both in the past and in the future at the same time. We need to reconcile a controversial past or a difficult or problematic past in order to secure a promising and optimistic future. And that is necessarily a complex endeavor, and one which requires multiple themes in order to get us through. And this, I think, is reflected, in some of the ambiguity, and in particular in the phrase Zichron Truah. The one thing the Torah tells us about Rosh Hashanah is that it is Zichron Truah. And as already mentioned, the Mepharshim have tremendous range in their understanding of what Zichron Truah means. If you look at Rashi on page 1 here, Rashi says, Zichron Truah, Zichron Psukei Zichronos, Upsukei Shofros. Rizka Lachem, Akedas Yitzchak, Shekarev, Tachtav, Ayol. Zichron Truah for Rashi means Psukei Zichronos and Psukei Shofros. We know we say the Psukim of Malchiah, Zichronos, and Shofros. Rashi zeroes in, interestingly enough, on Zichronos and Shofros. The Ramban rejects Rashi because he says, if you look at the, not the next three pieces, Ramban Vayikra Chof Gimel Chof Dalet, Zichron Truah, first he quotes Rashi, Psuke Zichronos, Psuke Shofros, Liska Lachem, Akedah Tinsa, Chikari Tachtav Ayel, Lishon Rashi, and then he says, Hayatzarach Harav Lahavi Gam Psuke Amalchios Mina Medrash. Why is Rashi discriminating against Malchios? Shaloi Tachain, strong language. It's inconceivable. Shiyaskar Akosim Psuke Azachronos Vishofros, Belo Yazkir HaMalchios. And then he goes on to explain why that is so. In his Drasha Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban virtually says the same thing, except there he adds one other line where he says, I know that you're going to tell me that what motivated Rashi to exclude Malchios are the words of the Pasuk, which say, Zichron Truah. Zichron is Zichronos, Truah is Shofros, and Malchios isn't there. He says, I understand that too. I understand where Rashi got this from, and I understand that he wasn't intentionally trying to downplay Malchios. He was just interpreting the psukim and was struck by the absence of Malchios. He says, however, nonetheless, and then comes that same phrase, lo yitachein, it's still inconceivable to speak of Zichronos and Shofros without Malchios. That's the Ramban's perspective. However, Rashi does. And in light of the Ramban's objection, it's even more interesting and intriguing. Now, what Rashi does, the truth is reflected in other Makoros as well. For example, the Mishnah on Lamed... Oh, I didn't bring it here. Do we have a Gemara Rosh Hashanah? I happen to have one here? Oh, there you go. The Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph. Thank you. You didn't bring a no Rambam either. Training the next generation. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us that I'm sorry, Lamed Beis Omed Aleph. Seder Brachos Omer Avos Gvuros Kedushas Hashem Mekolo Malchios Imon De'Eino Tokeya. Kedushas Hayom V'Tokeya, Zichronos V'Tokeya, Shofros V'Tokeya. The Omra Avoda Hoda'a Birchas Kohen Yedim Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. The famous view of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri was that in the tkios that we blow in the tefillah itself, right? What he would do was he would include Malchios together with Kedushas Hashem. Hamelech HaKadosh, in other words, and there would be no tkiah there. Then, when there was a separate bracha for Kedushas Hayom, there would be tkiah shofar. For Zichronos, there would be tkiah shofar, and for Shofros, there would be tkiah shofar. That's not what we do. Amar Rabbi Kiva, in Eino Tokeya L'Malchios, Lama Umazkir. If you're, what's the point? It's Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Why are you discriminating against Malchios not to blow during Malchios? Ella, what you should do is what we do. Omer Avos Gvuros and Kedushas Hashem. The Kol Malchios and Kedushas Hayom B'Tokeya. You integrate, I mean, you do the opposite in a way. You make the Kedushas Hayom linked to Malchios, and there you have the Tekiya. Zichronos B'Tokeya, Shofros B'Tokeya, the Omer Avos V'Odo Birchas Kohan. Fine. But basically, this discussion of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri reminds us, at least, I shouldn't say us, reminds me of the discussion between Rashi and the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says, Oitachain, how can you leave out Malchios? And Rashi says, what do you want from me? The Torah says, Zichron Chua. It doesn't say Malchios Zichron Chua or Zichron Chuas Melach. In other words, now, let me make clear why this is particularly important. Not only does it kind of isolate Malchios, I'm not interested in the isolation of Malchios, I'm really interested today in accentuating Zichronos. The point is that we blow Tkiah Shofar for Shofros is a no-brainer. That's what Shofros is. How could we not? But if we're not going to blow for one of the other two, right, what's the special yichus of Zichronos over that of Malchios? The truth is we associate Malchios with Tkiyas, or at least the true or the Tkiyah as well. In fact, the Svarno, in his parish of Zichron Trua, says it's all about Malchios. Because, you know, Yagilu b'Malkam, when you hear the Kol Chatzotros, or the shofar, you know, the trumpets, that, you know, that's a way of reflecting the presence of the king. The Ibn Ezra likewise, he says other things too that are important, but with the Ibn Ezra, here you have it in front of you, when he explains a little bit, he says about Zichron Trua, then what is the reference to? Second. The Tama Trua, this is five lines down. The Tama Truak Zecher Lemalchios Hashem. So the Sarno and Ibn Ezra see that the Truah is connected to Malchios. But apparently Rashi didn't see it that way. And again, the words of the Torah don't sound that way. It sounds like there's a special connection between Zichronos and Shofros. If you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara says about Malkiel, Zichronos, and Shofros. We have that printed here on the page. On page two, the Imru Lepanai Rosh Hashanah Malkiel, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malkiel's Kadesh Tam Lichuli Aleichem, Zichronos Kadesh Yale Zichronechem Lepanai Letova Ubameh B'Shofar. So the question is, what is the Bameh B'Shofar referring to? Does it refer to also to Hamlichuni, Kadeshat Hamlichuni Aleichem? Or does it only refer to Kadeshat Tavo Zichronosechem Lifanah? It certainly refers to Zichronos. It's not at all clear that it refers to Malchios, which again would confirm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's perspective and the perspective of Rashi in his Perush al Torah. In the Nusach HaTfilah and Nusach Birchas HaMazon, right? So the Malchios part is reflected in Tfilah in a very important way, Kedushas Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh, and during the week, HaMelech HaMishpat, and actually it lingers on during Yaseres Yimei Tshuva as well. I'm not suggesting that Malchios is less important. I'm only suggesting here that Malchios is different in the role that it plays vis-a-vis Zichronos and Shofros. In fact, if you take the language of the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Aleph, it would seem like Malchios is the way that we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam during this period of time, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We relate to him as Melech, and it's important that we acknowledge that. But the mechanism through the vehicle of Shofar that we're interested in is that Shofar is the kli, is the vehicle which brings Zichronos in the presence of the Melech. We address the Melech. What we actually accomplish is Zichronos by means of the Shofar. Zichron, true. And that's exactly, I think, what Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the simple reading of the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Aleph is all about. Which is why, came back to my point a second ago, while we say Melech HaKadosh, when we characterize Kedushas Hayom on Rosh Hashanah, in Tfilah and in Birchas HaMazon, what do we say? Well, in Tfilah, sometimes we say Yom HaZikaron Yom Trua, right? But the Chasima is Yom HaZikaron, correct? The Yom Ha, not Yom HaTrua, Yom HaZikaron. And the same thing in Birkas HaMazon. In Birkas HaMazon, when we say Yala V'Yavo, we zero in on Yom HaZikaron. Now the truth is there's no phrase Yom HaZikaron. I don't know if people, you know, discuss this or not, I don't remember, but there's no phrase in the Torah Yom HaZikaron at all. There's Yom Trua Yelachem in Parshas Pinchas, and there's Zichron Trua in Parshas Ambar. So where do we get even Yom HaZikaron? We get Malchios and Zichronos and Shofar, that's fine. But Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Trua, that's also fine, Zichron Trua. But Yom HaZikaron, and that ends up being the chasima, or the single reference, when there is a single reference. Apparently, Zichronos, Bederech Trua, at least the case can be made for the fact that Zichronos, Bederech Trua, have a special status on Rosh Hashanah. This idea is partially reflected in the Ramban as well, although with a bit of a price to pay. The Ramban, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside just now. Again, says, I don't know what Zichron Trua is. He doesn't like Rashi, as we know. And then he says, probably Zichron Trua means nothing different than Yom Trua, Yelachem. That's unfortunate. The Ramban says that. But he says it here and in the Drasha of Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban, in other words, minimizes the discrepancy between Yom Trua, Yelachem, and Zichron Trua in Hemar. He says, about Zichron Trua, this is in the Ramban 3, 6, 7 lines down, about Zichron Trua, Kemo, Yom Trua Yelachem. Yomar, Shenaria b'yom hazeh b'yielanu l'zikaron lefnei Hashem k'mo shenemar l'halon in Bamidbar Yud Yud utkatem chatzotzros v'yulachem l'zikaron lefnei Hashem alokeich. So even though, and what does it mean for the Ramban? As he goes on, he explains that this is essentially the theme of Din. This is the theme of Din. And like he had hinted at earlier, the fact that Yom Kippur is coming up, Yom Kippur is Ikar, Rosh Hashanah is the pre-Din of Yom Kippur, but that pre-Din of Yom Kippur is expressed through the shofar generating or stimulating a Zikaron Lifnei Hashem. That's what Zikron Trua, the Zecher of the Trua, which is connotes, according to the Ramban at least, it connotes Mishpat. Okay. Just as an aside, the Ramban focuses very much on pre-Yom Kippur. The Ibn Ezra seems to have the opposite formulation, although it might just be structural and technical. But if you look at the Ibn Ezra, he says, Vani, this is, look at the Ibn Ezra, it's line 4 in the Ibn Ezra. He says, "Va'ani kine ermos l'cha sodot v'sim libcha ulai tavinein." Ulai tavinein. Right. Listen carefully. I'm about to tell you, you know, important information, insights. You know, try to understand. Amru hamatikim. Right. The Masorah is sheyom Rosh Hashanah yom adin. The tamatrua zecher l'malchios Hashem. The achar sha'ikar kolosh kodesh. The Ikar of every month is its Rosh Chodesh, says Ibn Ezra. Fascinating idea. Right? Are you Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Nechbad, Kibau Kama Mishkan, Uba Asir Abi Cheskov, Rishon Bechal Lachodesh, the Chaintas of the Shiva, Bavur HaMeruba, that seventh day of every month, if seventh day is ever important, it's only because it's the quarter point from the beginning. But Rosh Chodesh is like dominating everything. V'inei Chamisha Asar Lenocha, because that's halfway. The Yom HaShvi, Gal Meruba, the Pesach Sheni is Chalfo, Gadol V'Hakatan, and then he says, Alkein Yom Rosh Hashanah, Gadol Mikula. The greatest day of the year, fascinating, is Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because that's Rosh Chodesh itself. Afal Pishu Yom Din, Asur Nisanos, but this is last year's topic. And therefore, even though it's a Yom Din, and therefore the appropriate thing would be to fast, but since it is Rosh Chodesh, not just technically, it's Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh, right? It's such a day of stature, you just can't allow a fast day. The Ezra Yochiyach. The Tzukim and the Chemia would say, right, L'chu, Ichlu Mashmanim, Shtu Mamtakim, Shuchu Manos, Lein Nachon Lo, the Yom HaKippur, Makotam B'Machberes. So basically, the relationship between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, in a way, for the Ramban and for the Ibn Ezra, are opposite. Right? For the Ramban, Rosh Hashanah is the pre Yom Kippur, and for the Ibn Ezra, in a certain respect, Yom Kippur is the follow up of the big, big, important day, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but anyways, getting back to the main point, this is sort of connected, what I'm trying to develop here is the idea that Zichron Trua, at least according to some Mepharshim, many of the Mepharshim who kind of deny it end up having to integrate it. Zichron Trua implies a special status for Zichronos, as does the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Ezra Gohanan Ben Nuri. Shetavo Zichronosechem Lifanai Bameh, the shofar, Yoma Zikaron, in addition to it, in some cases, even more than Yom Trua, emerges as a primary theme of this day. Moreover, there is some evidence that Yom Trua Yavachem and Zichron Trua, the two different formulations in the Torah, represent two aspects of Rosh Hashanah. Let me just highlight that very quickly as well. Because again, it will underscore that Zichron Trua, the Zichronos part, is very crucial. The Ramban obviously rejects that idea. I just mentioned the Ramban in Drash al Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban al Torah says Zichron Trua, Yom Trua are interchangeable. They're the same. They're one and the same. However, I think it's noteworthy at least that the only time in the Torah that we have multiple designations for the same day in a serious way is Rosh Hashanah. That's number one. Right? Yom Trua, Yom HaZikaron, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. Everybody, you know, kids come home from school, they sing the song. That's how, you know, we know those four designations. What other holiday has four designations, all of whom have sources either in the Mikra or in the Mishnah and the Gemara or in the Nusach HaTfilah? But that's number one. But it's also the only Chag which is designated differently in the Torah itself. Yom Truah Yelachem and Zichron Truah, Emor and Pinchas. Now again, according to the Rabban, the difference is negligible and you might as well forget about it. But the language of Torah Shabbat is always omnisignificant, and maybe there really is an important difference between these two themes. Maybe Yom Truah Yelachem is Tkiyat Shofar, and Zichron Truah is more, as I said before, after all, the Torah never says Yom HaZikaron, that's where Yom HaZikaron comes from. The Shofar is just a vehicle. The Shofar is a Maisa Mitzvah and an end in its own, right? Yom Truah Yelachem, Pinchas. And in addition to that, it's merely the mechanism of what's really important on Rosh Hashanah, namely Yom HaZikaron, Zichron Truah. What would be the basis of saying that? Well, number one, the Gemara initially thought that we learned different things from these two sources. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis tells us, you know, Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, what do you do? The Mikdash HaYutokin, some people have written on this topic, and the Medina, right, you should sit home or sit in knots, Sheva Al Tasa, don't do Tzkiyat Shofar. Shofar B'Shabbos is not allowed. So the Gemara originally thought that was a Midoraisa. The Gemara says, how do you know that you're not allowed to blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, because I'm two Pesukim. There's Zichron Truah, and there's Yom Truah Yelachem. Yom Truah Yelachem is when Rosh Hashanah calls out on a Chol. Zichron Truah is when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. That's the Gemara's Alamina. That's the view of the Yerushalmi. The Gemara ends up saying it's not correct, because the prohibition to do Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos is only a Din D'Rabbanan. There's no real Malacha. It's Chachma V'Ena Malacha. And therefore, that's not it's not so. But the Yerushalmi has such a position. Now, according to that view, something very fascinating emerges. And that is, the Torah characterizes Zichron Truah, according to that view, because of the inability to do Tkiyah Shofar because of Shabbos, and that's what they choose to emphasize in Parshas Emor? There are two Parshas in the Torah. Right, the first one is Emor, Vayikra. The second one is Pinchas, Bamidbar. The first one is the nuts and bolts defining the Kedushas Hayom. The second one is a very important Parsha too. But it's the Parsha of the Musafim, the Karbanos. If the Torah wants to zero in on the true character of a holiday, right, and it's going to, you know, pick one Parsha as, you know, the rare occurrence, you know, where unfortunately because of some extraneous factor, you know, you can't fulfill the mitzvah completely, but you have to know what to do. Where is it going to put that, and where is it going to put the fundamental ideal definition? Presumably, Parshas Emor is going to address the real essence of Rosh Hashanah. But that's where we have Zichron Truah. Not only that, some years ago we had the opportunity to speak about Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. There is a debate what the Nusach HaTfilah should be on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Normally we say, as I mentioned, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Truah. The Chasima is Yom HaZikaron. But we say Yom HaZikaron, Yom Truah. The question is, if it falls on a Shabbos, maybe you should say Yom HaZikaron, Yom Zichron Truah, which is what we do. And then the question is, not everybody does, but that's our practice. And then the question is, does it make a difference when? Meaning at night or during the day? It's only during the day where we can't practice Rosh Hashanah as usual. So maybe at night you should continue to say Yom HaZikaron and Yom Teruah. My point is, either way, if you're not able to do the Tzkiyah Shofar because of the problem of Shabbos, that should really affect the Nuscha Tefillah, Zichron Teruah. Did Zichron Teruah just mean, hey, alas, we can't blow Shofar? So what I would suggest is that rather than looking at this as a practical point, the Torah writes Tekiah Shofar, writes Rosh Hashanah in two different ways to tell us that if it's Chalios B'Shabbos, you can't blow the Shofar. Instead of looking at it that way, I would propose to formulate it a little bit differently. And that is as follows. What the Torah is telling us is there are two components on Rosh Hashanah. One is the Maisa Mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar Yom Teruah Yelachem. But that is only the mechanism, or that's only a single secondary theme. The primary focus of the day is the idea of Zichron Teruah. The idea that through the Teruah, we're able to convey and to zero in on, to concentrate on Zichronos. That's why Zichron Teruah could be turned into Yom HaZikaron in the Chasima. And that's why Parshas Emor, Dafka, focuses on Zichron Teruah. Pinchas tells us what we do, right? But Emor tells us what the Chag is really about. What is it about, really? Zichronos. When the Gemara wants to explain in Rosh Hashanah that Kof Chesem is based, whether or not you need Kavanah at the time of Tekiah Shofar, right, there's a general debate. Is it Srichos Kavanah? Is it the same Srichos Kavanah? So the Gemara says, even if, when it comes to Chametz, I'm sorry, when it comes to Matzah, Chametz shouldn't be eating on Pesach. When it comes to eating Matzah, so Kofo Parsium, if the people, you know, force it down your throat, maybe you can be Yotzei Dechavasa. Because the Torah says, eat Matzah, Melacha. However, when it comes to Tokei L'Shir, if you're blowing shofar as a musical instrument or practicing, you can't use that for the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, even though mitzvah is Eidon Tzrichos Kavana. But shofar is different because the Torah doesn't just say Yom Teruah Yelachem. The Torah says Zichron Teruah. Zichron Teruah means you have to have Kavana. So again, what does that really mean? What it means is, in addition to being a mechanical Maisa Mitzvah performance, which comes under the general discussion of Mitzvos Yesh or Ein Tzarech Kavana, in addition to that, there's a concept of Zichron Teruah. Namely, the shofar is merely a vehicle to convey Zichronos. And the Zichronos, by definition, require Kavana. Zichronos are not mechanical. Zichronos are about the experience, the process, for the Ramban, the process of Din, according to what I was suggesting before, maybe the process of relating to individual and past history. I'll stand on this just a minute, but the point is that cannot be done mechanically. So the Gemara, in the two places where it suggests a distinction between Yom HaZikaron, Pinchas, and Zichron Teruah, Emor implies that they're not identical, they're not interchangeable, notwithstanding the comments of the Ramban in Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah and his Perush al HaTorah. Let me take it a step further. Poses in Sukkah, Tafmet Dalar Udeis, I have this on page 2, on the bottom, discusses the following very interesting question. It's really talking about sukkahs. Kibbut Arava. The minhag that they used to, you know, hit and bang an Arava every day in the Mikdash. One thing, the Gvulin, Kibbut Arava was considered to be a minhag. The Gemara has a debate, what exactly is it? Yesoda Nevi'im or minhag HaNevi'im? And the Gemara seems to say that the nafkamina will be whether you make a bracha on this practice of Kibbut Arava. So if you look here at Tosfos in Sukkah, Kan the Mikdash Kan the Gvulin, Tosfos says the Mikdash Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai, the Gvulin Pligi The Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yisod Nevi'im, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Minhag Nevi'im. Who appears for Kuntres, and Afkamina, the Takanai, if it's a regular Dindra Banan, then Rabbanan, Takanos require a bracha. The E Minhaga, if it's a Minhag, Loboy, the Lake of the Member of the Tzivan. You can't say the word Tzivanu on a Minhag, only on a mitzvah. That's the view of Rashi. Okay. The Lake of the Member of the Tzivanu, the Minhag Bialmosh, and Higo Hama, Filu Bechal, and Tasser Lesa, the Chedam Nebisamu, Chavit, Chavit, Velo Barich, Kasavar, Minhag Nevi'im, Hu, period. Then Tosus asks, "V'yesh medaktigen mitokach the lom of archina nahala the Rosh Chodesh." That's the case. A very famous discussion. You shouldn't make a bracha when you say halal on Rosh Chodesh. Ma inyan nachibin a rav lahala Rosh Chodesh. The answer is halal on Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to on Yom Tov, is a minag. And if ain mevarchin al a minag, then ain mevarchin al halal shor Rosh Chodesh. Why? She'en ala minig b'yama, k'en mucham perkbasu de tainas. Rabbi kulababel, I'm going to read this quickly. Chazi de kare halab rosh chodesh, sabalab sukinu, shaman de karmadalgi, ba'azli omer shaman aminig avasayim b'yadeyim, ba'va de kare yochan and hasan yudka siyom yochan gomer sahalel, u'begola chabal avyom lovishum de lehebe achrini takana, shukor medilu gala yochan gomer, hainu kamar yochid kore, urcha nashas, the story about this, k'ayin netani b'brachos, batikin gomer, imenei tzakas. Fine. Rabbi Natan Omer, to Ein Raya Me'a Rabba Lahala. So Rabbi Natan said no. Just because an Araba doesn't get a bracha, because it's a minag, doesn't mean the Halal doesn't. Why? Because Araba and Halal are quite different. Now Araba, in Ela Tultu B'Alma, the Kiva Nala Takanta, Hiyala Min Haga, Loch Shiva, Lamikva, Vabracha. When it comes to Araba, it's basically a new creation, Midrabana. And they decided to do this task. Since it's only a minhag, it doesn't get a bracha. I will kriyas a halel logari mekari b'torah. When you read halel on Rosh Chodesh, it's not a new creation. It's not a fact. These are psukim of Tehillim. Not only that, there is a general concept of halel. So we've expanded the yamin she'omrim halel midrabanan to include Rosh Chodesh as well. The point, it isn't a new creation. It's an expansion of an already existing valuable amiras kikori batorah, etc. Which the Kavas say, Ashkhan de Mevarchinan Ashne Yom Tov Shogalios. Just like the second day Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz. Do we make bracha? We do. Why? It's only a minag. In the element of the Alma Kadisa, the Perakam of the Beitza. Gemara says in Beitza, we know the calendar now, and it's only a minag. Apparently, there are certain minhagim which are expansions of Daraisas, that we are comfortable saying a bracha. Then he adds, and this is where it comes relevant to us, Miu ein mizeraya, maybe there's no proof. Why? Da'atama de'ein mevarchin arav alamandam reminag avay mishum le'af shalom avitzivanu. What do we say is the whole problem of making a bracha on a minag? Saying the word vitzivanu, it's not really commanded, it's a minag. Right? U'beis yam and tovim shagolios, Einan Bahem Vitzivanu. Ela Kiddush Laskaras Hayom Vitzvila Berchas Hamazon. When it comes to Yom Tovcheni Shogalios, where is the Vitzivanu? All we're saying is Kiddush. Kiddush doesn't have the word Vitzivanu. Berchas Hamazon doesn't have Vitzivanu. Therefore, there's no proof. Okay? That's Tosas Adka. Then Tosas asks the question. V'im Yishom Dimavarchina Natkiya Shofar. How come you said that there's no Vitzivanu on Yom Tovcheni Shogalios? There is. Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Vitzivanu Tkiyas Shofar, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So what about that? So the Gemara says, Yom Tovcheni Shal Rosh Hashanah Hanu Takanta Ninu V'chamiri Mibetzah Mitzvah Shogalios Linyan Beitza Kedusha Achas Ninu. What is he saying? Very, very briefly, there's a difference between Yom Tovcheni Shogalios regularly and the Yom HaRichta of Rosh Hashanah. And this is a topic in its own right, it's not for right now. But basically, we know that even in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash, certain times they have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. and they didn't always know whether it was going to be Rosh Chodesh until the Edim came and testified and they proclaimed the new month. Therefore, sometimes they made a takana, if the Edim come too late in the day, we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We'll finish the first day, the Kedusha, and we'll proclaim the second day, Rosh Hashanah. That's called the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We call it Yom HaRikta. So what does Tosa say? Normally, the fact that we have a second day Yom Tov doesn't prove anything about the Tzivanu because there are no Tzivanus. But on Rosh Hashanah, there really is a Tzivanu, Shofar. However, Shofar, I mean 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's based on the rule, the principle of Yom HaRichta. That isn't a regular minag. The fact that it is Yom HaRichta also implies that the quality is different. It's not based on minag, but on Takana Drabanan. And since it's based on Takana Drabanan, you can say the Tzivanu. That's Tosas. So why am I bringing this to your attention? Rabbi Kineger, Gilyon HaShas, asks a question. And the Ran already asked this question. And the Ran actually asked two questions. The Ran asked two questions. Number one, it's true that Rosh Hashanah, the second day, is a little different than the second day of Yom HaShanah Shel Kol Yom, and that it's called Yom HaRichta. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's more of a takana than the normal minhag of 2 days. It could be the minhag is to treat it as Yom HaRichta. Who says that just because the dinim are different, therefore the quality or the source of authority is different? That's one question of the Ram. That's not for now. That's a topic in its own right, but that's not for now. The second question, and the question Rabbi Kineger asks, is a much more powerful and important question. And that is, the only mitzvah of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Kol Yom is shofar? What about matzah? What about maror? Right? Sukkot is not a problem. Because we break a bracha on the lulav every day. It has nothing to do with Yom Tov Sheni. Okay? Shavuos, you don't make brachas on anything. There's no ma'aseh mitzvos. But what happened? Well, why did the Bali Tosfos forget about Pesach? Matzah and maror? And there you don't have the answer to say, oh, it's a Yom HaRichta, oh, it's not a minhag, it's a takana. Very strong question. That's the Ran's question. He doesn't have a good answer. That's Rabbi Kineger's question. He doesn't have a good answer. Okay. So I always thought that you could answer this question by noting another peculiarity. And that is, there is a minhag of the Gaonim. Okay, let me say it clearly. Our minhag is, we say Shehayanu, both on Tkiyas Shofar and on the Tilas Lulav. The first time you pick up the Lulav, you say Shehayam. First time you blow Shofar, you say Shehayam. That's what we do. However, that was not the uniform view of all the Gaonim and the Rishonim. There are actually three different perspectives. One is the one I just mentioned. The other one is, you don't say Shehayanu, not for Shofar, and not for Lulav. Why? Because you already said Shehayanu, Kiddush, for the day. So when you make a Shehayanu for the Kiddush Sayom, why shouldn't that cover the other mitzvot that you're going to do that are connected with the Yom? Lulav and Shofar. And lest you say that Itzaki Leilos Miyadit, well, you can't pick up the Lulav at night, and you can't blow the Shofar at night. So there's an automatic hefsek from the Kiddush, the Shehayanu, the Kiddush. You can make that argument. Okay. But, nonetheless, there were those who said only one Shehayanu. However, again, none of this so far is relevant to us. What is relevant is the third shita. There was a view in the Gaonim that said, when it comes to Shofar, you make a Shehayanu. When it comes to Lulav, you don't make a Shehayanu. Are they already? You can't say Itzaki Leilos Miyamin because we might have shaken. Both you don't take a lulav at night, you don't blow shofar at night. Why would it be to say that you make shekhyamah for both makes sense? To say that you don't make shekhyamah for both makes sense. Why would you discriminate between shofar and lulav? So the Rinnigash of the Tshuva, the Mordechai and the Ravya, they say it as well. I don't know whether else from a Chavi to the same answer, or this is just a very old answer. They give a very strange answer. Again, if you look here very quickly, Shutari Migash Sun Reish Gimel, the second last piece. Rabbeinu Hinigas Anche Alisena He was the Rabbi Gashon, was the rabbi in Alisena. The Tchina Sheivarcha Shechianu on Lulav El Shofar. Originally, he told them, make a Shechianu on both, Lulav and Shofar. Right? Ad Rabbo Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi. Ubatel Milomer Shechianu Al Shneim Shalov Nirolozeh. Then he decided, you shouldn't make a bracha on Shechianu on either one. Okay. The Nigla Yisachakach Tshuva Rabbeinu Nissan, Rabbi Nissan Gon, the Echriya Bezek Dibre Rabbi Nissan, but Tshuva Ahim Mechayev Eslomer Shechianu B'Shofar V'Lov V'Lulav. Only Shofar do we say Shechianu? Not Lulav. Why not? V'zelefi Sheniralo She'ein Lomer Shechianu B'Lulav Shekfar Beirachnu Shechianu B'Layla B'Kiddush. Lulav is taken care of by the Kiddush. How come not Shofar? V'chagat Sukkos Me'ara Galen Shiroi Lomer Ben Shechianu B'Daraisa B'Lulav B'Daraisa Kvar Nichol B'Birchas Halayla B'Birchas Shechianu B'Layla B'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Kippur B'Himid Rabbanan וברכה שחיינו על השופר מדורייסה אין חי ברכה שחיינו שבלילה שהיא מדרבן ופותרס ברכה שחיינו על השופר שהיא מדורייסה ביום. Meaning, yeah, the background is as follows. The Gemara Erevin and that man has a suffix. They're not sure whether you say שחיינו for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur or not. They're not sure about it. Why? On the one hand, they're Dvarim Shabayim Mizman Mizman. Obviously, these are very singular experiences. On the other hand, the normal simcha, undiluted simcha, that we associate with the Yom Tov is questionable regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because they're Yimei Yerav Apakha, Tshuva, etc. The halacha we pass in that we do make the Shechianu. The Gemara says it's not worse than Karach Hadasa, than, you know, experiencing a new vegetable. So some of the Gaonim understood what that meant was, you don't make the Shechianu b'Torah as Kedushas Hayom, just because it's like a new experience, or maybe it's only Drabana. Now this formulation of Drabana, of course, is peculiar because all Shechianu is Drabana. It's a regular bracha. There are very few brachos, if any, that are Drabana. Birchas Hamazon is Zaraisa, maybe one or two others, but Shechianu is Zaraisa. What they really mean is, the impulse behind it is a Zaraisa impulse, even if the way it's expressed in the bracha is only Drabana. So this is the answer that they give. However, I always thought, based on these two points, the Tosos in Sukkah and this Minhag, that you might say a different answer. And that is based on what we've been discussing. And that is, this is the only mitzvah, the only chag rather, where the Torah employs two very different formulations. Yom Trua Yelachem and Zichron Trua. Maybe the Torah is, again, against the Ramban. Maybe the Torah is telling us in these two different formulations, and the Gemara thought that they're important nafkamina. And remember, Parshas Emor picked the one that if we were just interested in facts, it wouldn't make sense. That we'd be picking the rarest and most b'dieved one. So it would seem from the Gemaras that Zichron Trua is a different theme than Yom Trua. What the Torah is trying to convey is that there are two mechayvim, two kedushas hayoms even, or at least two dimensions to Rosh Hashanah. One is Yom Trua Yelachem, where the focus is on the mitzvah mitzvah, and the other one is the idea of shofar not as an end, but shofar as a vehicle. Zichron Trua. Kedei shetavo zichronosechem lefanai ubameh b'shofar. So getting back to Tosus and this minhag, how does it help? What is Tosus saying? Tosus is saying the following. The fact that there are mitzivonus on Pesach doesn't bother us. Because the second that you make kiddush, which you're allowed to make, on Yosef Sheni Shogolios, you've already in the Drabanan established that this is the second day. And if this is the second day, then you can say mitzivonu. Not because of the minhag. The minhag is the reason it's the second day. Once it's the second day, you say the tzivanu because a day of Yom Tov on Chag HaMatzos requires that you eat matzah and make a bracha midrabanan. However, that's true when the mitzvah flows from the kiddush totally. So once you make Kiddush, you can also make the Asher Kachan Sotsu V'Tzivanu, phase 2, on the mitzvah. But in the case of Rosh Hashanah, where there's Zichron Trua and Yom Trua, so just because you make Kiddush, doesn't mean you can say V'Tzivanu on Shofar. the Kiddush is related to Zichron Truah. And in fact, in Kiddush, what do we say? We don't even mention Truah. It's Yom HaZikaron. Right? So how do you know that the Yom Truah Yelachem is included? The answer is that's a separate din. That's true. But there you can justify the Tzivanu because it isn't a regular minhag. It's a Yom HaRichta. Getting back to the Shechayanu question, again, I'm speculating. I haven't seen it elsewhere. So enough, an alternative answer for the Rimigash, for the Gonin's position. When it comes to Lulav, you don't have to say a separate Shechayanu because that flows from the Kedusha Sayyot. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, right? Just because you said Shechayanu Yom HaZikaron, does that apply to the Yom Truah? Not necessarily. And therefore, we make a separate Shechayanu. Indeed, there's a major debate in Rishonim whether we say Shechayanu on Rosh Hashanah the second day, during Kiddush, and Tkiyas Shofar. Because after all, a regular Yom Tzeni Shel Golios, as we know, we always say Shechayanu. Because the second day. But since Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichta, it's an extended one single long day, as we know, so you can make the case that you don't make a separate Shechayanu. So Rashi is a tshuva, it's already late already, but if you look at that goes by Munios, you know, the last piece, you'll see it. Rashi is a tshuva in which he says you should nonetheless say Shechayanu during Kiddush. I'll read this very quickly. And then he quotes, V'lo chilek bein rishon l'sheni v'chein the sefer ha'mitzvos, meaning the snag, v'chein nimtzu b'tshuvas Rashbam v'shem zikno Rashi, Gosmonia suggests that when it comes to this question, do you make a Shechayanu on the second day? A question which the Rishonim discussed with regard to two things, Kiddush and Tkiyas Shofar. When it comes to that question, maybe we can distinguish between them. Maybe we can say, when it comes to Kiddush, we won't make Shechayanu. It's a Yom HaRichta. But when it comes to Shofar, it's not a Yom HaRichta. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say the opposite. If anything, we would have said the opposite. When it comes to Kiddush, that's a Yom HaRichta. I'm sorry, that's not a Yom HaRichta. When it comes to Shofar, maybe I have to, it's okay, I have to wear a Beged Chadash. Maybe there you really have to have some other excuse to say Shechayanu. How could you distinguish between Shofar and Kiddush? It's the same question, whether it's Yom HaRichta. This is not the only answer. I think there's another approach that one could take. We're not going to go into that. But in light of what I'm suggesting, maybe the answer is, this again reflects the idea, that when the Torah speaks about Yom Truah, and then it speaks about Zichron Truah, it's two different things. Not unrelated themes, obviously. But they're two different ideas. And you have to, when you talk about Rosh Hashanah being a Yom HaRichta, you have to relate to each one separately, possibly. Maybe the Kiddush reflecting Zichron, Yom Truah, I'm sorry, Yom HaZikaron, we don't even say Truah there. Or maybe Yom Truah Yelachem, but you can be Mechalek in either direction. If this is the case, so let's go back to what we began with. Why the special hakana? Why the special focus? I've spent my time trying to explain that even though the word Yom HaZikaron is not mentioned in the Torah, and Zichron Truah, at least for the Ramban, is interchangeable with Yom Truah, and there are many different interpretations, but nonetheless, a case could be made for the fact that Zichronos play a particularly special, unique role. And that Zichron Truah is different than Yom Truah, and in that sense, Truah is both a mitzvah in its own right and also the vehicle for Zichronos. What is this idea of Zichronos? It could be many things, and I'm not suggesting that everybody agrees with my analysis. But let me get back to what I started with. Rosh Hashanah is the last day or the end of one year and the beginning of another, and therefore it is symbolic of the change in time. It's a day which is both has one foot in the past and another, not even in the present, but in the future. The essence of Yom HaDin is precisely about reconciling the past and therefore securing and looking forward to the future. The Rav Zichrono Livracha used to speak a lot both in Isha Halacha and in some of the Truma Drashas and elsewhere, about Halacha having a unique conception of time. He said, we say that, you know, science and secular world see time as a very static, you know, sequential kind of a thing. Whereas Halacha sees it as open and dynamic, a person can reach back, you can time travel, you know, by means of Halacha. Okay. Not in a science fiction sense of the word, but in a spiritual sense. The past is never over. The future is something that is connected to the past and that is connected to the present. You can travel to the future and you can travel to the past. And that's embedded in our consciousness, the truth is. All the zakhars of the Torah, which the Ramban counts as mitzvah saseh, all reflect the idea the past is never over. Some chagim focus on this in a very dramatic way. Pesach, right? Ki'ilu hu yata ata, mitzrayim osanu, hotzi misham, zechira sitziach mitzrayim kol yom, but the sipur is ki'ilu yata ata, mitzrayim, according to the Rambam. But not just Pesach. This is the general theme, right? Zechor yevo salam, binu shnos dar vadar. If Santayana told us that we, you know, better not forget the past, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat its mistakes. Right? Chazal understood that to be true, but much more to be true. Maisa Avo, Simon Labanim, especially as the Ramban develops the idea throughout Bereishis, is almost causal in a kind of mystical way, but not just in a mystical way. What happened in the past is never in the past. L'tovah and l'ra'ah. Right? That's beneficial and detrimental, depending on, it's always an opportunity. On Yom Kippur, we say vidui for sins that we already received kapara from years past. But on Rosh Hashanah in particular, that's the transition between past and future. That's when the timelines are particularly open. And that's what Zichronos are. Yom HaZikaron and Zichron Trua means the shofar, whether it's the shofar of the Akedah, whatever it is, the schusavos of the past, or simply Zichronos, kol hanishkachos. The past is certainly not buried. We don't even want to bury it. We want it to be reconciled and resolved in such a way that it becomes a catalyst to an inspiring future. The process of tshuva itself reflects this. Mabit speaks about the fact that tshuva, let's give me another 2 minutes, tshuva is a kind of miracle. And it's almost supernatural. How can you repent or redress things that have already happened? You can always do better in the future. But how can you neutralize past sins? It's more than that. Right? If shgagos can be nasos, if zonos rather can be nasos, not only to shgagos, but to zechuyos, right? And that isn't understood only in a mystical way, but also in a very, I think, pragmatic / halakhic way, meaning the experience of alienation, of living with zonos, is one which can be a catalyst, which can inspire one, right, to take constructive steps, right, to exploit, to take advantage of that sense of loss, right, to completely transform his own experience. So then the total experience ends up being a constructive one. Again, don't misunderstand me. The sin is never good. But when we say, b'makom shebali tshuva omdin ein tzadikim t'murim yicholim la'amod, what we mean by that is, although you don't sin in order to have this constructive experience, and that's, you know, echta v'yashuv, and that's cynical, and that never works. But what we are saying is, if a person had this experience, not only is he able to overcome it, there is a mechanism to channel it in a constructive way. So that sense of being deprived of what makes life worthwhile is felt so acutely that it ends up being beneficial. It ends up inspiring him l'zchuyos. Basically, that means that the past is accessible and it can be transformed. Busha, nechama, these are very strong feelings. For them to be real and not just lip service, the past has to be an open wound. It has to be something which is accessible. Kabbalah abba, would be a davar shel bal yomam unless man was able legitimately, right, seriously, to relate to his future. And it wouldn't be just a davar shel bal yomam. The truth is, in this respect, maybe the tshuva of Klal Yisrael is unique. Right, we have Matir Ninveh, Matir Yonah, which talks about the tshuva of Ninveh. The Mabit, in his Beis Elokim, says, you know, Yonah never told them to do tshuva. He warned them what was going to happen to them. The word tshuva never crossed his lips. They did tshuva, but as I like to point out, it wasn't the tshuva of Shuvu Ad Hashem Elokecha, Kui Machem Dvarim. It was the tshuva of Shuvu Vidarkechem Hara, the tshuva of neutralizing past sins. But even that was their initiative, according to the Ha'ara, the Mabit, not Yonah, not the Rabbanu Shalom's. Why? Because tshuva is a doctrine that is unique to Klal Yisrael, or at least the tshuva of Ad Hashem Elokecha, which is more than just neutralizing the past, but it's about, again, that transforming of individual, making the past a constructive pathway to the future. That is a uniquely Jewish concept. And therefore, when we speak of Yisra Hashem, Panav Elecha, Yosein Lecha Shalom, the idea of Nesias Chet, the idea of tshuva as being something that is organic to Klal Yisrael, it's something that we take very seriously. The whole Matan Torah is based on defying the borders of present, past, and future. It's all about imitating the Rabbanu Shalom Kibyachol in that respect, who we relate to as Haya, Hoveh, and Yiyeh. That's what we read in the Tzavim, right? Eis Asher Yeshto Po, the Eis Asher Einenu. The Krisus Bris can be binding on people in the future because it's related to the Zacharta. Remember what happened way in the past already, Yitzias Mitzrayim. If this is the case, then Rosh Hashanah has to begin before Rosh Hashanah. And it requires the Hakana of a Chodesh Elul. Not merely because so much is at stake, but because the past, to be the gateway to the future, requires that we begin in the past. Then, in Rosh Hashanah, we can continue to access the past. I want to wish everybody Ksiva V'Chlima Tova, Shnas Chaim V'Shalom. May we really be able to confront all the demons of our past and the issues of our past, so that we can secure the optimistic future of Yom Truah, the Truah of Yovel, and Rosh Hashanah.